Philemon. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Philemon. We're going to spend the vast majority of our time there. We're going to be using Philemon as our outline this morning. As my son, Brother Max, read this morning in the reading, the first seven verses of Philemon here identify several things. Two of those things I want to point out are Apphia, and Archippus. There in verse 2 of Philemon, it mentions our sister Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. It's suggested that Apphia is Philemon's wife and that Archippus may be Philemon's son, for the simple reason it says the church in your house. That is opinion, but what we do know about Archippus is that he was a worker in Christ. In Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 17, it says that, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. So Archippus was a worker, was a minister of Christ, was a preacher, and was useful to God's kingdom. Now, this letter is, the identified author is that of Paul, the apostle. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So he's addressing this to Philemon, and he is greeting the church in Philemon's house, and that gives us another clue into who Philemon is. Philemon is a leader. He has a congregation, apparently, that meets in his house. So Philemon is a man of some substance. He has a little bit of wealth. He has servants. And one of those servants was a slave. I say slave, I say servant, I mean slave. A slave by the name of Onesimus. Now, Onesimus, interestingly enough, the name itself means useful in the Greek. And Paul uses this as a play on words later on in the letter to Philemon. Just want to keep that in mind for you. But Onesimus, here in the book of Philemon, this is not the only instance that we learn something about Onesimus. We also see in Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 9, and says, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you all of everything that has taken place here. So we know that Onesimus is useful. His name means useful. And we know that he was useful to Paul. And that he was a brother in Christ. And down there in verse 7 of Philemon, it says something about the character of Philemon himself. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. My brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So we know that Philemon is a worker. We know that Philemon is working with the brethren, that he is someone who is active in his faith. He's not just mumbling the stumble, he's walking the talk. He's doing the work of God. And all those in his household are influenced by him and have been influenced by him and have continued on from that. So we can see all these things here in these first seven verses of Philemon. Now down in verse 8, we start to get to the heart of the matter, what this whole letter is about. This whole letter is essentially about a forgiving heart. Verse 8 says, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required." Now, I want to kind of put this into my own words. So this is Paul saying, he's got a big stick on his shoulder, and he's going, "Look, I'm an apostle of Christ," and he's sitting there smacking his stick in his hand. "I could command you, because I'm an apostle, but I'm going to take this big stick, I'm going to put it over here in the corner. We're just going to leave that right over there, okay? I'm not going to command you. I'm not going to browbeat you to do what is required or do what is right." He says, "Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I prefer to appeal to your forgiving nature, to your forgiving heart." All these things that Paul has described here in the beginning of this book, or this letter to Philemon, insinuating that he is a worker, that he is a comfort because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through Philemon. Many people of the faith are looking up to Philemon. So we know, and Paul knows, the heart that Philemon has. And then he kind of pulls on Philemon's heartstrings a little bit. You know, he says, "Okay, yeah, I'm an apostle. I could command you, but we're going to put that all aside." But then he says, "I, Paul, an old man, and now in prison also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus." So he pulls on the heartstrings and says, "I'm a decrepit old man in prison." And so he kind of changes his tone. One instance, that of an authoritarian, like, we could go down this path. I'm not going to go that way. But now he kind of leans on the guilt trip a little bit and says, "I'm an old decrepit man in prison, so concede to my wishes a little bit. You know, have pity on an old man." He knows his friend Onesimus. He knows his friend Philemon well. And he's trying to get him to forgive Onesimus. He knows that there's a very difficult situation that is being presented to Philemon at this point in time. Well, what is that difficult situation? Well, the individuals that delivered this letter to Philemon, one of those individuals was Onesimus himself. Well, what's so big deal about that, John? Well, what the big deal is Paul says, "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, who's father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have you be glad to keep him with. I would be glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel." Well, who is Onesimus? Well, he's going to describe who Onesimus is here shortly. Down there in verse 16, it says, probably most of your translations say bondservant or servant. But the Greek word there is doulos. Doulos means slave. And we went into great detail this morning in our class that there is, you know, some distinct differences to what slaves were here in the first century in this region of the country versus what we as Americans view as slaves. Were there bad slave masters? Yes, there were. Was Philemon one of the bad slave masters? I do not believe so. Not in all the terms in which Paul has described Philemon. No. I think he is a good master. I think he is one of good heart. And Paul is trying to lean on that good heart and remind him of the heart that Philemon has. Onesimus was a runaway slave. So essentially, he stole from Philemon. Onesimus stole from Philemon. If nothing else, he stole property. He stole his servant, his doulos, his slave, from Philemon. And it would have been perfectly within Philemon's right to have this man flogged and flogged to death. It was his right as a master under that social structure and that cultural structure. That would have been perfectly acceptable as a runaway slave. It was a breach of contract and theft of property. See, justice in those days was cruel and unusual. We have laws against cruel and unusual punishments. But here at this time period, this first century, they didn't have so many rules that we have about human rights. You were property. You were property. And the owner of that property could do with what he wanted with that property at any point in time. But here we have identified that Paul is the father of Onesimus, not the physical father, but he is a father in the sense that he brought Onesimus to Christ. This is a brother in Christ. So now there's a special relationship now between Onesimus and Paul and Onesimus and Philemon. The only relationship that Philemon and Onesimus had at one point in time was a master and slave relationship. Now they're master and slave, but they're also brothers in Christ. The paradigm has shifted. The relationship has changed. Now, again, do I say that Philemon was a cruel master? No. All the characteristics that Paul brings out don't point that out. Philemon was a good man. Paul goes on and says in verse 14, "But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but your own accord." We talked in great detail this morning in our class about suffering and suffering for Christ's sake. And we talked about whenever we have freedom, we could exercise that freedom or we could restrain ourselves from that freedom. Paul is trying to restrain Philemon from using the freedoms that are open to him as a master of slaves. He implores to his goodness and not by compelling him or ordering him. Paul wants to remind Philemon of the man that he is, that he is a brother in Christ. And this is going to be a very difficult situation for you, I know, Paul says, insinuates. But I want to remind you of the man you are, that you have a good heart. I don't want to force you to do something against your will. I want that will that you have, that goodness that's within you, to be manifest. I want to see that goodness come up in the form of forgiveness and forgiving your brother, not a slave. Don't look at him as a slave. Look at him as a brother. How often do we get caught up in, well, I don't like that person. I don't want to forgive them for what they've done just because I don't like them. This is that heart that we are to have. The heart that Paul is bringing out to Philemon and reminding him of the heart that he has, that's the kind of heart that we are to have whenever we're presented with a situation that we need to forgive someone that we don't particularly like. I don't think Philemon particularly likes Onesimus at this point in time. He's handing him this letter and he's going, What are you doing back here? How dare you come back to me? Do you know what I can do to you? Yeah, Onesimus does know what he can do to him. And I think that's a insight as to Onesimus' faith and character. That he did something extremely brave. He was seeking for the forgiveness of his brother and came back to him. Now granted, Paul had to teach him about forgiveness. Paul had to instruct him that restitution is required as part of being a Christian. Where restitution can be made, that's exactly what Onesimus is doing here. If you want a scriptural example of restitution, this is it. This is one of them. Onesimus made a change in his life and is a brother in Christ. And he's proving it right here by doing the most dangerous thing possible. He's going back to the master that owned him as a slave, and he's asking him to forgive him when it's perfectly within Philemon's right to take his life. Onesimus was incredibly brave. Now, Philemon had the freedom to take his life, but doesn't. Paul further implores upon Philemon, saying, "So if you consider me your partner, if you consider me a Christian brother, if you consider me someone who is a leader, if you consider me of value as far as your faith is concerned, receive Onesimus, receive him, as you would receive me." Now, can you imagine that? This individual who has wronged you, and someone you look up to, someone you would admire and consider as a leader, asks you, "This person who has wronged you, I want you to consider and treat them like you would treat me." He's asking Philemon to treat Onesimus with honor, with respect, with love. How difficult is that? Forgiveness, we use the word forgiveness as flippantly as we use the word love. I love my truck. Don't get me wrong, I love my truck. But I don't love my truck the same way that I love my spiritual family, the way I love my physical family, the way I love my friends. We flippantly use words. Forgiveness is something that is really difficult, especially when someone has wronged you and you're in the right. We want to see justice done. But guess what? We don't want to see justice done unto us. We want grace. So whenever I want grace, I'm going to give it. And that's what Paul is trying to implore Philemon to do. And Paul illustrates, says, "I, Paul, write this with my own hand." Paul, many times, would use a scribe. He would dictate a book to someone and they would write it down for him. But here in this particular spot, he says, "I write this with my own hand." So he doesn't, maybe the first part of it was done by a scribe for Paul, but this particular instance, he writes this with his own hand. He takes up the pen and it adds more meaning to what he is about to say. If I, Paul, write this with my own hand, I will repay it. Say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Saying if Onesimus has wronged you at all, if he owes you anything, charge that to my account. Charge that to me, Paul. I write this with my own hand. I will repay everything that Onesimus owes. But then he goes on and says, say nothing of your own owing me your own self. What does he mean by that? Well, it's an insinuation that Paul himself brought Philemon to Christ, brought him to grace, introduced him to the grace of God. Now he's trying to implore upon him once again, you've received grace, you need to give grace. And he's reminding him of that. Many, many times in our lives, we as Christians need to be reminded that over and over again, for sure. That we've been forgiven of much. We need to forgive as much as we have been forgiven, and then some. We don't cease forgiving. Disciples ask, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus says, seven times 70. That's not a literal number. That is a figurative number. Seven times 70. It's without bounds. The thought process of that was saying, if I forgive my brother seven times, I'm being very gracious. And Jesus says, you're not even close. You're not even close to being gracious. It's the level of grace that God has exemplified to each and every single one of us. That level of grace is unlimited. Now, should we go on saying that grace may abound? God forbid. No. It is our command that we are to grow and we are to become more and more that example of Christ as we live. But we always need to be brought back into remembrance, and that's what Paul is doing here with Philemon at this time. And Paul goes on to verse 21. He says, but I'm confident in your obedience. I know the type of man that you are. I'm confident in what you are going to do. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's how confident that Paul is in that this is going to work out. That by sending Philemon, he was not sending Philemon to his death because he knew his brother, Onesimus. He's not sending Onesimus to his death. To Philemon. Paul knew Philemon and knew his heart, knew that it was a forgiving heart, but he brings him into remembrance of the kind of man that he is and that he is a brother in Christ. And then he closes out this short note, this short letter, and he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, and my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He closes out with confidence. He doesn't need to go in great depth detail of how this is all going to work out. He just simply reminds him of the grace that is given to him and how much he has been forgiven. He needs to forgive as well. This is the heart that forgives. This is a model for each and every single one of us in forgiving one another. And the emotions can cloud our judgment. You don't think this was an emotional situation for Onesimus and Philemon both? I'm sure the tension was palpable. You probably could have cut it with a knife. Emotions were high. And our emotions get the better of us from time to time. But we always need to be reminded that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been forgiven much. We need to forgive much. So, if you are a Christian, and you're having difficulties with a hard heart, you're in good company. We've all had that situation. we're going to have that situation from time to time. I would bring you into remembrance that you have been forgiven a great debt. You need to forgive as well. There are many, many examples of this in Scripture, of being a hypocrite and how much we have been forgiven and yet we won't forgive others. If we don't forgive others, we ourselves are lost. So if you need to make a change with your heart as a Christian, you need to renew your faith, you need to renew your contract with God, and that you are going to follow His will and His example, you need to make that change today. Or, if you have never responded to the gospel call, if you have never knelt at the cross, the opportunity is open to you today. If you need to make a change in your life, and need to receive that forgiveness that only Christ Jesus can provide you, the opportunity is open to you today. If you're in need, please come to the front as together we stand and sing.